Good morning, everyone. While Valerie plays through a verse or two for us, let's take a moment and prepare our hearts. Open them to 609. We'll sing, it's just a short portion of 609. It will be worth it all. 609. We'll sing that and then pray together afterwards. So it was always touching to Juanetta and me to hear Butch sing, it will be worth it all. Go ahead, Valerie. At this time, I'd like to ask you to take your songbooks and open them to 582. And Joshua does a great job leading us in this song, Maybe Today. 582.
Maybe today, my Savior, I shall. Amen. I'd like to ask everyone to take your Bible in hand and stand for our scripture reading. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 1. A lot of us like to read the book of Revelation. And Ken will be reading for us verses 9 through 15. Please follow along as he does so.
Okay, I texted Tom this morning and I told him I would say good morning to all of you for him. So, good morning, everyone.
Hey, Tom.
Tom has said good morning. Let us read Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 and 15. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters.
Amen. A picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remain standing as we sing number 584, Christ Returneth, while Children's Church is dismissed. 584, Christ Returneth.
Oh,
Everyone may be seated and open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. How many of you have heard evangelical Christians that the accusation may be that evangelical Christians who believe in the literal understanding of the Bible being criticized for having our heads in the clouds? Yeah. Well, you know, some have tried to ridicule by saying that we're so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. You know what? To be of any earthly good, you need to be heavenly minded, dear Christian. You do. Before I pray, have you ever looked up at the sky and wondered about what it will look like when Jesus returns in the clouds? I have. I saw several nods. You know, some cumulonimbus clouds can reach 8 miles up into the atmosphere, almost 50,000 feet up. Will Jesus stand on top of one of those when he comes back? Have you seen a bright ray of sunshine that seems to poke through a cloud, a hole, an opening, where we could go up? I've looked at those and wondered. One time, a breathtaking cloud passed over the campus at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, and it was scary. It's called a roll cloud. It is a horizontal tornado that doesn't touch down. It rolls like a rolling pin over the top of you. It's scary. How many of you have seen one of those? Okay, I see a few. Speaking of tornadoes, do you think that may be how we'll go up, Alan? Is in a tornado? Elijah did in a whirlwind, remember? I don't think that's how it'll happen, but I wonder these things. You know, like Dorothy in the classic movie Wizard of Oz, that kind of stuff. I don't think so. What about a cloud like on the bulletin cover, on the front of the bulletin cover? It was a lenticular cloud, that's the proper name for it, over Kasanka, right across the highway from our house. It was taken from our driveway, that picture was, years ago. I imagine, I do, meeting the Lord through the middle of that donut, if you will, that lenticular cloud. Well, I hope you enjoy looking at the clouds for several reasons. One of them is Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I hope that's one of the reasons you enjoy looking at the clouds and the sky. Another is someday we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, according to our passage, verse 17. And that the ever-changing sky reminds us that event may take place any moment because the sky is constantly changing, isn't it? It can happen at any moment. Thank you, Alan, for clearly teaching that this morning. But let's read in our passage, verse 16, okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." We can look at the night sky. We can look at the morning sky. We can look at the daytime sky and the evening sky. Like last Sunday, several stood out here on the porch and looked at the beautiful bright orange sunset. But that will really, what will really catch our attention are not so much what we see, but what we hear. The sounds that will accompany that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we look into this one verse, and as we have come to this verse by 3 weeks ago, exploring verse 13 and 2 weeks ago, verse 14, last week, verse 15, and today, verse 16. Father God, I ask you that the Holy Spirit would teach us, that you would motivate us to serve you while we have opportunity in this world, looking forward to heaven as our home. We realize not everyone has heaven as their home. Oh, Father God, we ask you that we would be those who have a passion and a compassion for souls. The lost will face horrible eternal judgment, we know from your word, and we don't want anyone to face that. And Father God, our Savior, because he loved us so much, even when we were yet sinners, died for us. And that's the case for each and every one in this world who is still drawing breath. Father God, I ask you that you might use Valley Baptist Church to draw others to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and that they can also look forward to seeing our Savior, meeting him in the air someday, most likely very soon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's keep a finger here in 1 Thessalonians and go back several pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll read verses 51 through 53. Again, that's okay. Alan warned us about this. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold. That's an exclamation. Behold, I show you a mystery. Something that previously has not been well understood, but has been revealed now. I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And we learned in verse 13, that's a reference to physical death. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 51, some believers will not face physical death. The Bible says so. I believe that. Some believers will not face physical death. Wow, that's against the natural order of things, isn't it? Even Hebrews 9:27 tells us the natural order of things. It says this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, or this, the judgment. That's the natural order of things, but God sometimes does something supernatural, out of the ordinary, and our Bibles tell us about that mysterious event. But a mystery. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it says, that glint that grabs my heart when Juanetta looks at me and the light is just right, that glint, it grabs my heart. And it doesn't mean that it passes quickly. What it means is when that happens, it should catch our attention, because it actually, those who have timed these things say it's approximately 11 hundredths of a second. 11 hundredths of a second. We shall be changed in 11 hundredths of a second. We will be given new bodies fit for heavenly living. Most will be raised from their graves and reunited with their soul, spirit, and their new body. But what's cool about this whole thing is some will never die. Some will never face physical death. There's never been a generation like that before, nor will there be afterward. This is a unique generation when some will still be living and caught up to meet the Lord in the air, instantly receiving a heavenly body, a body that is similar, but yet fit for heaven, in 11 hundredths of a second. Amazing to me. In 1 Corinthians 15, we learn that the body that is planted in the grave is like a seed. And when it grows, of course, it produces a plant, a flower, let's say. The seed that is planted in the grave is a corruptible body, but one that is raised from the grave is like a flower, and it's beautiful. I thought about that a little bit. I would say I might be more like a zucchini than a flower, but at any rate, we'll be changed and we'll be fit for heavenly living in that new body. In Jesus' day, we're constantly looking for signs. In John 4, verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye shall not believe." It wasn't a good thing. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 22 and 23, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." No, we're not looking for signs. We realize that this world condition, maybe I should say, is being conditioned for this day by political events and all of that. We certainly talked a lot about that a few years ago during the COVID scare and all. But God doesn't want us to be looking for signs, but listening for sounds. What's the difference? Well, it takes faith, doesn't it? We walk by faith and not by sight. That's part of it. But also, it means that we aren't trying to put together the pieces of the puzzle and say, it's going to happen right there. No, that's up to God. And Jesus emphasized that to his disciples. If we're listening for sounds, we can't put that together. God is the only one that can. By the way, looking for signs is one of the major problems with the signs and wonders movement among charismatics, Pentecostals, the Vineyard movement, and the New Apostolic Reformation. They're looking for signs all the time. They are enamored with seeking, if you will, ongoing new experiences and looking for signs, more signs, bigger signs, better signs, bizarre signs. The more bizarre, the more captivating it is to them. One very recent example of this is with those who are, okay, Bill Johnson is kind of a leader in the New Apostolic Reformation right now. His wife, Benny, has been photographed going to a cemetery and lying on someone's grave who was a believer, she thinks, and didn't use all their spiritual gifts. And she was soaking the spiritual gifts out of the grave of a deceased person. They call it grave sucking. I'm not kidding you. They really do this. So the more bizarre the signs are, the better. According to them, you know. I say that's a problem. What about their souls? Are some of them so focused on signs and wonders that they miss real faith in Jesus? I'm afraid so. I can't predict, but I'm afraid that's the case. Let's not be looking for signs and wonders. Let's be looking unto Jesus, not the latest entertainment or drama or fads that masquerade as signs and wonders. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's go back to our verse today. The Lord Jesus shall descend. For Christ to descend, in verse 16, I guess those of us who think in reason and logic realize, well, then he must be up there. If he can descend, he has to be ascended, right? Okay, he's up yonder right now. He is not still in a grave. He is not still in a grave over in the Middle East, as the liberals in Christendom say. He did rise again the third day, as the Bible says, from the grave, and he walked around Judea for 40 days. He was seen of over 500 brethren at once. He is not in the grave. And then he ascended up off the Mount of Olives to the right hand of the Father in heaven. So he can descend, can't he? We not only believe in the Lord's vicarious suffering, his literal death and burial, but his actual resurrection and ascension back up to heaven where he came from. Jesus told this truth to Nicodemus one night. Let's go to John chapter 3. Leave your finger here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again, and go to John 3. Nicodemus was one of the rabbis, the Jewish Pharisees of the day. And in chapter 3, he came to Jesus by night, verse 2, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I read that to take us to verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus Christ is the only one that has come down from heaven, taken on a human body. Nicodemus got to meet him, and Nicodemus believed and became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. While we're in John, let's go to chapter 6. This he explained to some other Pharisees who did not believe in him. Go to John chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse 41 and 42 say, The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Look at verses 50 and 51. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread and shall live, or he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus came down once. He descended once to pay the price for your sins and for mine. He is the bread of life. If you believe in him, you'll never perish. You'll never die. You'll have everlasting life. And then 40 days after his bodily resurrection, he ascended again. Look at Luke chapter 24. He descended once and was born in Bethlehem, and he ascended. Luke chapter 24, look at verse 50. As I read, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. But ye shall receive power, Jesus said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, I don't blame them for doing that, by the way, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven." He will descend again. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." Okay? Wow, we have a risen, ascended Savior who will descend someday soon to take us up to be with him. Obviously, he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, and he has the power to take us up to meet him in the air. It's interesting, in John chapter 14, I think you ended with that today, I don't know it. John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a glorious hope we have. It ought to motivate us. It ought to, as Alan said, it ought to drive us to make sure no one else will miss that wonderful, glorious event. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 declares Jesus will or shall descend from heaven with a shout, and I cannot even try to pretend to do what his kalyuma is. That shout in Greek is kalyuma. It's only used here in our Bibles. This is the only place that word is used. It is a military term. It means a loud command. Right, Master Sergeant? You know how to do that, don't you? I don't know how Jesus will do it, but it'll be better than you do. Somehow, it will be an incredible, loud command. The root word is found several times in the New Testament. It's kaluo. And here's a few examples. In Matthew 14, verse 19, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looked up into heaven," or looking up into heaven, "he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude." He commanded everybody to sit down, and they sat down. Well over 5,000 people. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." The word "bid" is our word kaluo. "And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." It reminds me of good old Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, and his sisters and friends were gathered at the grave. The grief was heavy. Jesus loved them all. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." A command. "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Jesus, with the authority of Almighty God, commands these things to happen. And this shout, when he descends with a shout, will be a command. It might be something in English like, "Come to me, my beloved." I don't know, but it will be a command. Dear friend, when Jesus shouts command, things happen because of who he is. When he comes back to our atmosphere, his glorious command shout to come up will be heard by Christians all around the world. No matter where they are or what they are doing. How many of you like spelunking? Okay, very few of us. One out of does this. If you're down under the ground a half mile, which we have been, you'll still hear it. If you're deaf like me, you'll still hear it. Wow, that is incredible. All around the world, no matter where you are or what a person is doing. More about that next week, though. I want to say this. My voice does not carry all that far. I wish I had a voice like Pastor John Weber in Kalispell, but I don't. There was a famous Baptist preacher in the 1800s named Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Many of you have heard of him. And he had quite the voice. In that huge metropolitan tabernacle in England, nearly 10,000 people gathered and heard him clearly as he preached without amplification. That's quite the voice. But when Jesus shouts us up to meet him in the air, every believer will hear his beautiful voice all around the world. A Christian friend of ours in Big Fork is Doug Westfall. And Doug was born completely deaf. And as a young man, his sister was abducted and murdered. And Doug, along with his brothers and his dad, became believers in Jesus Christ as Savior. Doug is a born-again man, has never heard a word. I asked his brother Greg, who was a dear friend of mine, how does Doug work on diesel engines? He is a sought-after, very well-known diesel mechanic in the Big Fork area. And Greg said, it's easier for him than it is for you and me. And I said, what do you mean? Doesn't he have to hear the way the engine is running? And he said, no. He has this big screwdriver in his back pocket. He puts it up on the side of his head and pushes against the block of the engine. And he can feel it. And he's a very sought-after diesel mechanic in Big Fork. When Jesus comes into our atmosphere with that shout, Doug will hear those words, the first words he'll ever hear. That's incredible. I'm looking forward to that glorious day. Not only that, but check this out. John 5, verse 28 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Those who have died and are buried in graves will hear his voice, like Lazarus did. Wow, what a voice and what a mighty God and Savior we have. Then Paul adds the voice of the archangel in verse 16. I'm sure you've read our verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The voice of the archangel. In our Bibles, we do read occasionally about archangels. There's only one who has been given a name in the Bible. His name is Michael. And we find that in Jude, verse 9, and Daniel, chapter 10, verse 21, and Daniel 12, 1. There may be others in the class called archangels, according to Daniel 10, verse 13, but to be sure of this, Jesus' return to catch up his bride, the church, will be accompanied by the voice of the archangel. Angels heralded his first coming, remember, near Bethlehem to the shepherds in the Christmas account. And to be sure, an angel will be part of his next coming too. It is a huge event that will leave the whole earth reeling. I can't imagine what will happen on earth, but I don't have to worry about that. It's not my problem. But it will leave the whole earth spinning and reeling. But Christians, both in the grave or those who are living at that time will enjoy the voice of the archangel as well as the call-up shout of Christ. But that's not all. There also will be the trump of God. The trump of God? Well, we read that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, remember, just a few minutes ago, and in Sunday school. Here is an example of the trump of God. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, an example of the trump of God. Exodus chapter 19, we'll start at verse 18. Exodus 19, 18, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Wow. The trump of God is something that is unprecedented. It's something we can't fully comprehend. I have known a couple of men in my life who were incredibly talented trumpet players. Jim Stark, when I was in junior high school and high school, was invited even as a young man to play in symphony orchestras. He was excellent. He was talented. But just a couple years ago, we were treated to Sam Slobodian coming here. Remember the missionaries to the Ukraine? He goes to many cities over in the Russian and Ukrainian area and will stand in a city courtyard or square and play his trumpet, and a big crowd will gather, and then either he or someone will preach the gospel. He is an incredible trumpet player. If you don't have Sounds of the Trumpet or Sounds of Christmas, we can get you copies of those in CD format, probably MP3 as well. But this will even be more incredible than that. I enjoy listening to good trumpet players, but this trump of God will be something we can't fully fathom. In Old Testament times, trumpets were used to warn a city of possible danger. There was a certain blast for that purpose. Trumpets were used to announce the return of a king. And there was another type of blast for that. Trumpets were used to call together an assembly. They were announcements. They were something that was common back then. Now people, of course, read announcements by text or other social media. Now, and I think it's so fitting and wonderful that the trump of God will be used to announce Christ coming in the clouds and to call together Christ's own ransomed church. When J. Wilbur Chapman wrote One Day, the song, in our hymnals, he must have had these Bible passages in mind. Here's what verse 4 of One Day says. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved ones bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. So when we hear the Lord shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, stand back for just a moment, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. At the end of verse 16, I don't think that it will be rocks and dirt thrown into the air. That body will be somehow altered so that it can pass through solid objects. But just we'd say it with a smile on our face. It won't be long, and we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and it will happen in about 11/100ths of a second. Only Christians will hear those sounds. Those who have rejected Christ will not hear, and they will not go, and they will be confused. We can speculate about chaos, and surely that would be the natural way of things. Any who have not received him have actually rejected him. Did you know that? If everyone who has heard the gospel message and said, not now, or not for me, that is a rejection of Christ. They will be lost, and if they figure out what just happened on planet Earth when this 11/100ths of a second event takes place, it will be too late. We do not want anyone to be left here on Earth to face the tribulation that will follow. We don't want that for anyone. There is one way to be sure of joining up with Jesus forevermore, and that is to receive him as your risen, ascended Savior. In that same John 14 passage, verse 6 says, "And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to hear these sounds, the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, it starts right now when you need to place personal, genuine faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you and me. He will surely descend someday soon. Just as he ascended up, he'll descend again. And of course, we've got to sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there?" Make this offer to a friend this week. They need Christ. You have friends that are without this hope, and we want them to have an eternal hope that is sure. It's called our blessed hope, and it means an assurance, basically. Number 607, "When the roll is called up yonder," and then we'll pray and be dismissed. Number 607, please stand as we sing this. Number 607. By the way, I do not believe in manipulation. I could have asked everybody who knows for sure that when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there to stand up. But I don't believe that's right. That's not fair to anyone. And I would not do that to you. If you're not sure, you talk with me after the service. Number 607, "When the roll is called up yonder."
When the roll is called up yonder,
us hope. Let's pray. Father God, I ask you that you would work in our hearts, in our midst, and change what needs to be changed in our lives. Are we ready to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air? Have we received him as our Savior? There may be someone here that needs to make that decision clear and absolute today, and I ask you that they would not leave this place before doing so. Father God, I also ask you that as those who have received Jesus Christ as Savior, we have this glorious event to look forward to when we hear his shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and in a brief moment caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Father, I look forward to that, and yet will I be ready at that moment? Will I be in such a spiritual state that I'll be glad to see him and hear him? Father God, I ask you that that would be the case for each of us, that we'd make sure that when this does take place, we will be glad for it and not caught off guard somehow or in any situation we should not be in. Father, I ask you that we would not be ashamed of him at his coming. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.